from the UBO Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaquerocafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Monday right here on B&E. Start up your work week, first week of August. Coming on to the first weekend of the eighth month. With a lot of great stuff. What'd you see over the weekend you liked? What was good? What wasn't so good? What was ugly? There's a lot of, I think we had 12 baseball games each day of the weekend with a couple of postponements in there for COVID, but five or six NBA games each day. Four or five hockey games each day. You had the WNBA. You had golf. We had sports over the weekend. We also have maybe the reckoning happening in college athletics. And might be overstated, but we'll get to it. And maybe not, because I think we might be seeing the tipping point of a complete change of how college athletics operates. The pandemic is kind of pushing it, but a lot of things coming together, a confluence of a lot of events all at one time could forever alter what we know as college athletics and what we've known as college athletics. And I'll get you details on that coming up, Buck. But let's first pay off the B&E fact of the day. It was on this day, 1949, that the modern what we know now as the NBA was formed. When the, you got any idea what the two leagues that merged was, Buck? I mean, you weren't alive yet. You were,
but the ABA wasn't around then.
Nope. The NBA was formed when the Basketball Association of America merged with the National Basketball League. The BAA merged with the NBL and became the NBA 71 years ago today.
And then I was old enough for the ABA.
Then the ABA came online.
Artist
Challenge.
Gilmore.
Yeah, that was kind of a rival league in the 70s.
Dr. J.
Yeah, and they pushed the NBA to change, and no doubt it made it better with the competition that was there. But, yeah, that happened 71
years ago. I never liked that basketball, though. I never liked that multicolored basketball that the WNBA with the ABA played with Dr. J. As a matter of fact, I do have that photo of Dr. J with that ball jamming.
Julius Erving.
Yes.
But also, did you know, Buck, on this day, 528 years ago, Christopher Columbus set sail with his three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, August the 3rd.
Is that Three Rivers? Did they come up Three Rivers?
No, that's Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Came from Spain.
Ah.
On the three ships.
They didn't go through the Monongahela?
No.
The Allegheny?
No, that'd be Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That'd be, yeah, exactly. No, that was 528 years ago this day, as we remind you of things. All right, let's get to
when he started savaging people and stuff? Ravaging and savaging?
You know, let's...
When he got here, it was kind of like
things
that,
happen.
Right?
People got in the way.
Give me my stuff.
It's about the new land,
yes.
Starting new frontiers. Think about that, though. I mean, whatever the history of Christopher Columbus, and if he was a wretched person, but guess what? I mean, that takes some balls to set sail unknowing. Where are you going?
Yeah, I was watching National Geographic and some of the people trying to set sail over here. That wasn't a fun trip.
a lot of peril out there.
No, that's not like going to Glacier Bay on a cruise ship.
Yeah, we're still looking for Jerry Jones. I'll get you the latest on where Jerry Jones is,
because we need
his marine activity. All right, let's get to the headlines as we get you caught up on a busy sports weekend. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Trending topics to start your work week starts in college football with the Big 12, right? Of course, we already know the Pac-12, SEC, ACC, and Big 10 have all moved forward with their plans to reduce their game schedules and push back the 2020 college football season amid the coronavirus pandemic. According to a report in theathletic.com yesterday, though, the Big 12 still undecided on their course of action. Big 12 athletic directors met Friday afternoon in advance of a board of directors meeting scheduled for today, where it is expected a final decision will be made. According to the report in The Athletic, they are deciding between three different plans, with a nine-conference game plus one non-conference home-scheduled game being the most likely choice. We'll talk with Max Olson of The Athletic, who wrote that story, coming up in our next hour to get the very latest on the course of action of the Big 12. Busy weekend of Major League Baseball saw the Houston Astros pull out a 6-5 win in Anaheim yesterday. Took 11 innings to do so. Alex Bregman laced an RBI single in the 11th, and rookie left-hander Blake Taylor escaped two bases-loaded jams during his first Major League victory as Houston improved to 5-4 on the young season. Rangers picked up their third win since the restart. They beat San Francisco 9-5 yesterday. Willie Calhoun broke a 5-5 tie with a 7th-inning sac fly, and that was followed up by a Joey Gallo 3-run homer to stretch the lead. Teams off to the best starts in the early MLB season. How about the Yankees are 7-1? Aaron Judge belted two more home runs last night as they down the Red Sox 7-1. Aaron Judge has six home runs already. Minnesota's off to a 7-2 start. Braves are 7-3. Cubs 7-2. Colorado and the LA Dodgers pacing the NL West at 6-2 and 7-3. Respectively. We're now 4 days into the NBA's restart in the bubble at Walt Disney World. Pair of nice wins over the weekend for the Houston Rockets. They downed Dallas in an overtime thriller Friday night, 153-149. James Harden scored 49 in that game. Well, Houston turned around and followed that up with a win over Milwaukee last night. Best team in the East, 120-116. Spurs improved to 2-0 in the bubble. They beat Memphis last night, 108-106. DeJounte Murray led the way with 21 and 10 assists. Mavericks are 0-2. In their Disney game so far, they followed up the loss to Houston on Friday with a loss to Phoenix last night, 119-117, despite 40 from Luka Doncic. In golf, great weekend for Justin Thomas. He outdueled Brooks Koepka down the stretch to win the World Golf Championship's FedEx St. Jude Invitational in Memphis by 3 strokes. Thomas followed up a 66 Saturday with a 65 yesterday to finish at 13 under par. And guess what? He's the new number one player in the world. Back to number one at 27 years old. At 27, Thomas also the third youngest player since 1960 to win 13 PGA Tour events. That trails only Jack Nicklaus and a guy named Tiger Woods. Golf's first major of 2020 is on tap this week. They'll tee it up at the PGA Championship in Harding Park in San Francisco on Thursday.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Okay, so there we go. It says Columbus was a jerk.
Okay. And you Fair know enough. That? How? How? Were you friends with Columbus? Did you know that
History
he was a
would
jerk?
Tell you. It was 520 or so years ago.
Maybe you knew him well.
Yes, he was an explorer. But
yes.
Yes, Christopher Columbus. Hey, so Buck, what was, you know,
you were talking about some of the changes that are going to take place in college. There are going to be some changes that we see in some of the professional sports and some of the ways of doing stuff that you may like.
Yeah,
and we're gonna find out. There's a couple things that we're kind of liking about baseball and you know, you're going to find out about hockey and soccer and some other things. There'll be some kind of permanent changes, or they'll explore them and really like them and say, no, this is sticking, you know?
I think so. I mean, I don't think the 7-inning doubleheader will stick for baseball. I don't think
it's a numbers thing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, they're just trying to speed games up and get games through. And they've got a 2-month season. You know, the 7-game doubleheader, and that was voted on this weekend because of all these shutdowns, right? Because the Marlins have played 3 games and the Dodgers have played 10. I mean, they're going to have to make up games. Everybody knows this. When the Marlins do get healthy and can play games, they're going to have to play a lot of games. So instead of taxing bullpens and playing 9-inning doubleheaders, they'll play 7 innings, kind of like in the minor leagues and back when you were playing high school baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I don't think the runner at second base to start the extra innings is going to stick. But it may, you know what, you may come from that. There has been a proposal to, if the game gets past, say, the 11th inning, that's when you would start the runner at second base, not in the 10th. Because you know, if you go back to the history of like last year in baseball, when a game went to extra innings, 70-some percent of the time, and it was over in the 10th.
Okay.
So only 30% of the time did it go beyond the 10th. And what they're trying to avoid is those 21-inning games. Some have argued that, okay, this runner at second to start each extra frame is silly, but it wouldn't be bad if you started in the 11th or the 12th. And so, okay, if we get to the 12th inning, you've had 11 innings to decide this game, we're going to put a runner at second
right
to start each inning and try to get this thing over with. That may stick. I could see that actually happening. Now, you wouldn't do that in the postseason. Postseason games, you know, you're playing to its conclusion. You're playing to the end. But regular season, 162.
Sure.
You can go ahead and, you know, save some bullpens. And
yeah, the NFL, I think those the number of preseason games, I think, yeah, I know they're going to try to get their money back. The owners are going to want their money back. No, we need to get back to four. I think that's come and gone now. I think that's over with.
Yeah. Well, I do think you're seeing in Major League Baseball, and to your point about preseason and football, this shortened preseason, you're seeing the injuries kind of mount. People talk about baseball spring training's way too long, the 6 weeks. You're seeing injuries early in baseball.
For sure.
And you're also seeing pitchers that just aren't as sharp as they normally would be. They don't have the velocity as normal. And that's what that 6 weeks about in Phoenix or Florida, Arizona or Florida, is really to get those guys in peak form when they start the year. I think guys are still kind of
working. Hell, we see that when you go that far even.
Yeah.
After full spring season,
right.
Guys getting hurt.
And exactly. But I think that's why they stair-step it up over that 6 weeks, and then by the time the season starts, they're ready to go. I think if you watch baseball over the first 2 weeks and weekends, you're seeing guys still trying to work themselves into form, and hopefully they don't get hurt. But the Astros have already lost Justin Verlander.
Well, I think you knew that
Roberto.
When you were going to do in a sprint.
I know.
You're going to sprint.
Rangers have already lost Corey Kluber and Leclerc, a couple of key pitchers for them, and that's going to be the concern is who can stay healthy in this. But to your point about football, we'll see. You know, the NFL, I mean, there's a reason they do, you know, four preseason games. A lot of it's for finances and for money. But at the same time, you know, what's the quality of football when we get to the NFL week one and they haven't had any preseason? There's been no inter-squad practices. And, you know, how do you actually go full speed in practice and be ready for game speed?
Right.
Look, Chiefs play the Texans on a Thursday night. That's first game of the year. That's going to be the first time those guys hit a field and play anybody other than themselves in the National Football League. Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner on a Monday.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
I think you're right, Buck. How many of these things in all sports stick big picture? Because we'll see changes. I mean, you just will.
Yeah. Will Notre Dame stay in the conference? Will they stay in the ACC?
Great question. Maybe they like it. They're like, oh, this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet. We win the title right here.
AV Consultations brings you the Coach's Corner as we dive in. Of course, hope you had the AV Consultations going this weekend with all the sports and keeping an eye on everything that was happening. Well, let me mention college football and college athletics in general. We talk about things that could be changing permanently. To me, there's seismic things happening in college athletics, right? I mean, we know it's a big business, but it's still amateurism, right? So you're seeing the confluence of these two things, and a couple things happening. The Pac-12, we told you about the players in the Pac-12 writing a letter, united, saying we need these changes, mainly medical benefits for 6 years after their education is done. They want 50% of revenues split with them, and they want social changes made. You know, they're standing. So unionizing, essentially, right? So that's a pretty big change. But to me, it's only a matter of time, right? We're already seeing the name, image, and likeness. And what we've seen here during this pandemic, if we didn't know it before, the players do have a lot of power because they're the entertainment.
Yeah, they got a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah, and it's been in their face. Administrators, athletic directors, everyone saying openly, well, guys, if we don't play football, we really don't have an athletic department, which trickles down to players saying, oh, really? You mean if we don't play football, you don't have an athletic department and all those coaches don't make $7 million?
Correct.
And without us, there's no them, which leads to, oh, wait, we actually have some control of this thing. We actually have some power in this. So you're seeing that. You're also seeing, and we saw that here at Texas, right, where the players, you know, asked for change and demanded change, and, you know, the university, you know, followed suit and made what they thought were good moves.
Yeah, well, and with that goes the fact that if you go to a college, you better get a college education, you better come out of it, because all of you are not going to the pros when you're making these demands. Take that education, put it to good use, and not think that 99.9% of you, when you get a college scholarship at any sport, that you're going to become a professional.
Yeah, and understand the value of it, right?
And start to understand the value of that.
But both things can be true, right? You can understand the value of that education if you're going to Stanford.
For sure.
Over the next 40 years of your life, that's a very valuable thing to have a Stanford education.
Or a
Texas education or a UCLA education, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you are pretty damn important because without you, you know, you can understand players looking at that and say, wait a second. Why is the coach making $6 million and I can't even get medical benefits? And I'm the one putting my health at risk, whether it's for COVID or for injuries or for concussions. I'm not getting any say in that. That's a fair argument.
And we've been talking about that for 20 years.
And it's only a matter of time. But this is bringing it to the fore. The other thing that's happening is another thing you and I have talked about, that would be coming at some point, and maybe this is the where the rubber is meeting the road on this, is the separation of the Power Five versus the rest of college football. Because think about bring these two stories together. The 65 teams of the five big conferences plus Notre Dame, so 66 teams, if they're separate and kind of run themselves, they probably could move towards some of the things these players want. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they could actually support that because they make enough money. And they could cut their own TV deals.
Not the 50% thing, no.
Well, 50% revenues? No. But some. They could move towards some.
Okay.
But if you're gonna be under the guise of the NCAA and amateurism and all the schools that play Division I athletics, probably not tenable, right? But for 66 schools in the five power conferences, probably you could go that direction and make it more of a semi-professional conversation.
But as a fan and the rest of you out there, you're going to have to be willing to understand some places will never play football again.
So think about this, though, and let me bring these two things together. Because here I got a tweet from Josh on my Twitter account that says, guys, there are 130 FBS teams. The corrupt five kicking the other five conferences out to dry is 100% unacceptable. It will ruin those other programs, ruin college football. I have no interest in a 65-team, made-for-TV, corrupt college football league.
I didn't even see that, and I just told you. I just said it.
That's where it's headed.
You're about to say goodbye to some college football.
And here, there was a story in Sports Illustrated over the weekend, and another one followed up by CBS Sports and Dennis Dodd, that essentially the headline is, Power 5 NCAA now officially adversaries, and a breakaway may only be a matter of time. So here's the deal. What the NCAA is expected to announce this week, that the fall sports championships are canceled, just like they did in the spring, right? They said,
yes,
there's no College World Series.
No basketball.
No basketball tournament because of COVID. We just can't do it. There is expected that the NCAA is going to, the Board of Governors will cancel the fall championships this week, which would be volleyball, football. Now, the NCAA doesn't even award a football championship. That's already run by the conferences and TV. But all the other fall sports to be canceled by the NCAA, to which this story in Sports Illustrated and the NCAA and CBS confirmed that at that point, the Power Five are going to move forward on their own without the NCAA.
Talking about this like 3 months ago. I said, either the recommendation from the NCAA is to not have what you're saying right there.
Correct.
To not have this.
So it says here, by canceling those other fall championships, the board knows it will be painting the FBS into a corner. The optics would not be good if the championships in the eight sports were canceled amid the pandemic, yet big-time college football plays on. By canceling those championships, the board might set in motion an eventual breakaway from the NCAA by the Power Five, 65 schools, and Notre Dame. So basically saying, you know what, NCAA, you're not doing much anyhow. So you can run those other schools. You're not running us. We're going to have our championships. We're going to play our games. We'll negotiate our own TV deals. And what they already have in football, essentially, they would move towards in the other sports and say, NCAA, get out. We'll run this.
You go work your deals with the TV and see how that works with those other schools.
Correct.
That are in Power Five.
I mean, this is obviously kind of a pivot point for all of it, that it's all coming together, that the NCAA, out of the health and safety concerns for student-athletes,
right,
and all the schools,
yes,
are going to say, no, we can't do this. We can't compete this fall. Remember, like
the By the way, they're going more so on not financial, but the recommendations of medical people for this. That's what they're...
Oh, sure. Well, remember, the Ivy League has already canceled sports for the fall. This is essentially what the NCAA is going to announce, that we're not going to have award championships for fall sports, the eight sports that play in the fall and compete.
The purists of football are going to hate this because they like little football, they like Division II football, they like the other football. But there are going to be some that say, I've been waiting for this thing to happen for so long.
Well, and it might be inevitable that with the current pandemic situation and all these, all the conferences and the Power Five going conference only,
right,
it's going to crush those programs, it's going to crush those athletic departments. So it's only, as you say, it's inevitable that the Power Five just kind of moves on. Those 66 schools form its own thing. And again, that goes back to the Pac-12 uniting and what we saw at Texas. Those 66 could actually probably afford to pay the players.
Yeah.
And to cut the players in on the deal.
And let me ask you, from the texter, why are you not interested in watching this? Why does that have to be corrupt? Why is the fact?
Because you're a fan of... Texas State, or you're a fan of UTEP or UTSA, or
the reality of this is what's this is how it's going to end up.
Yeah,
if it's not going to be this, if it's not now, it's going to be in the future anyway.
Well, again, it's all coming together right here, and whether it's the pandemic that's going to really tip it over.
Perfect storm that people call it.
And it's been happening with name, image, and likeness, and what happened in the state of California, and you got to cut these players in on this deal. Well, guess what? Again, these 66 schools, if you include Notre Dame, who are going to play in a conference this year, they can form their own group.
And 2020, there are so many changes in everything. This is the change time.
And I think we're watching a forever changing college athletic scene. And if it just think about it, if the NCAA comes out and cancels spring championships in the eight spring or fall sports, not spring, fall, they already canceled the spring and then cancels the fall, but yet the Power Five conferences move ahead and just totally disregard the NCAA and say, you know what? We're going to compete in these sports, and we're going to play these sports, and we're going to award our own champion.
Yeah, and I understand why you think revenues aren't going to be down. It's TV. TV wants.
Revenues will be down this year, but
yeah, this
if
year.
You're looking long haul, revenues will go up.
Sure they will.
And you would have more control. And guess what? The NCAA has been slow to act on the word amateurism and how to shift off of that and borrow like the Olympic model, right? I mean, that they can actually make a little bit of this money and still be a college student.
It doesn't stop you from, if the other universities in Division II or whatever are playing football, it doesn't stop you from playing football.
No. And the NCAA can still be in control of those schools. The rest of Division I, the other, 60-some teams, 130? So if 66 break off, that still leaves 64 schools that they would, in Division I, and then all of Division II, all of Division III would still be under the umbrella of the NCAA.
And the NCAA and the Power Fives would run their own basketball tournament, the whole works, right? They run everything.
Yeah. Because college football already runs college football. Like, the NCAA has no autonomy over, it's all run by the conferences and television anyway. What the NCAA has run is everything else. Well, is this the beginning of the separation of everything else for those 66 schools and those five conferences? Saying, okay, we're going to run our own ship. NCAA, you run everything else. Do your thing over there. You can cancel fall sports for the rest, but we're playing. We're moving forward. We've got too big a budget. Mm-hmm. So we've got too much at stake here, and we're going to play. Whether you think that's good or bad, I think what we're saying is it's happening. It could really hit an inflection point
this
week.
20 years ago, I was talking about give the parents 3 trips a year. Remember that? Yeah. Remember the whole, hey, just get the parents on campus, let them have a free trip here a couple times a year. The players would say, hey, at least we're going in the right direction. Now we're talking about splitting 50-50.
Yeah. Well, I think we've all watched it for years, right?
Yeah.
The reality of big business college athletics still being amateur. Mm-hmm. It's kind of silly. But they're... This could be what rips off those 66 teams, and the rest still play under the NCAA, and now this other group forms its own entity, which whatever it becomes, and they...
Can we still call them student athletes?
Well, if they're athletes who are going to school.
Okay, there you go.
And again, that doesn't. There's a million different landmines that come with all of this conversation, but this is an important week if the NCAA does indeed, as expected, cancel
this year tips the balance of a lot of different things in the world, so...
Yeah, no question. All right, we'll take your thoughts on that. What changes in the sports world are we seeing that will stick, that you like, and certainly college athletics changing for good? And as we mentioned, Max Olson, who wrote the article in theathletic.com this morning about the Big 12 and their meeting of their board of directors today. What's the direction of the Big 12? They're the last of the Power 5 conferences to act and at least announce a plan. We'll get the very latest from Max coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we'll get more of the good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. Isaiah Collier leads us through Hot or Not for the end of the hour. It's a great Monday on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
A couple pieces of breaking news this morning, including the positive. We just came out of our coach's corner on this Monday here on B&E. Philadelphia Eagles head football coach Doug Peterson has tested positive for the coronavirus as that training camp opens in Philadelphia. That's not ideal. Also,
he's been hanging out with the staff.
Well, these are going to be the issues of the NFL coming back. Training camps opening and, players and coaches, trying to, navigate and stay healthy and move forward. But Doug Peterson tests positive. I watched a Zoom conference with Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien. He's also the general manager on Friday, and he talked about how their facility is the cleanest building in Houston. Like, they've hired a full staff, and he said you could eat off the floor in our football facility, but that still means no guarantees because the players go home when they're not at the facility. So we'll keep an eye on what goes on down in...
Just remember this, no partying on campus this year.
No parties at UT, none. Things that will, like, stay, like the things we're, the changes we're seeing, the adaption during the pandemic,
yep,
that will not remain. Like, no part, no parties in 2020.
Dude, that ain't going to remain for the first, what, 3 days?
How long is that going to last? They're going to try. I mean, they're doing their due diligence. They send an email to all students saying, hey, no parties this year. Do us a favor.
You know how guys and girls meet most of the time as they go through life?
Parties. Or Tinder. Tinder now. Social media is now the new way.
Is social media even better than college parties? When you end up, don't you end up most of the time really almost marrying some girl that you met at college?
I'm outside of the demo.
Are you?
No, the dating apps were after I was, I've never been a part of that. But I've heard they're good. They kind of cut out the riffraff, you know, dating. You're either in or you're out.
But it's not, I mean, having sex and dating are two different things. I mean, right?
Yeah, I don't think they date anymore.
It's that way?
Well, I guess on some of the apps, the way they describe them, it's...
I mean,
are you in or not? Let's go.
I guess I think
you look good.
Most guys who've gone to college,
let's hook up.
At some time, has fallen in love during the course of their college.
This guy,
there you go.
My wife at college.
Yeah, I mean that happens. I mean, generally it's at some party.
Yeah, typically.
Don't guys get together and gals get together and things happen at parties? Don't the hormones and all that stuff run? Or can you stop the hormones?
No,
you can't. Can you?
No. And can you stop what's happening in college athletics?
Maybe there's a vaccine for the hormones.
A vaccine. I don't think that changes. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the natural evolution of things, and I think we're seeing that in college athletics, too. You asked earlier, because Josh had tweeted about, you know, the corrupt Power Five corrupting college athletics, and
yeah.
You said, why is it corrupt? He responded to that and said, it's corrupt because the five autonomy conferences are ruining college athletics and running them into minor league sports, also because they're stepping on the other 64 teams. They're greedy and power hungry. Well, that's true. But the greed began decades ago. I mean, the greed of the Power Five, or the profiting of the Power Five, when college athletics went from being student athletes and college sports to
correct.
Big business, I mean, that began decades ago with the invasion of the shoe money and the TV money.
And they didn't have to take it. They didn't have to take Nike money.
No, they did not. They did not. They can only
or Converse money. No, you could have said, no, we're not doing that.
No.
We're pure. We're college. We're college sports. This is amateur athletics. We can't take that money.
That is correct. And the shoe companies have pointed that out. Like, we can only offer you the money, guys. We can only, we want your football team to wear our shoes and our gear or in your basketball team, but we can only offer it. You have to say yes. And though that began decades ago, and you're right, they could have said, no, we're college athletics, but no, and now they've built, you know, huge athletic departments and coaches
stadiums
are making
and
stadiums and arenas, and it's big business, man. It's pro sports.
I mean, you can't turn that back around. I know you'd like to and getting bad at it, but that thing started a long time ago.
Well, here's interesting that our friend Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7 and, of course, Light the Tower this morning at 10 o'clock just sent me a text saying that this just broke this morning. Do we have a little breaking news, Isaiah Collier? Texas State and SMU have agreed to move their season opener in San Marcos from September 5th to August the 29th. So they're moving the game up a week. Sun Belt Conference is keeping their non-conference and 8 conference game schedule. It's an official. Texas State will begin the fall camp this morning with our buddy Jake Spavital. So
they're trying to do it the other way. They want to see early.
Well, I mean, there's an argument to be made that if all the Power Five are moving back into mid to late September,
yes,
that the non-Power Five could actually gain some TV eyeballs and gain some revenue playing earlier. Because, you know, we're football fans. We'll watch college football on September the 29th.
Oh, yeah, on the 29th.
And as
I don't know what's going to happen the day after or 2 days after, but when it's on, we're watching.
Yeah, so let's look. We're going to ask Max Olson from theathletic.com what he thinks the Big 12 will do today when the board of directors meet and make what they think is going to be a final decision. I would anticipate a conference plus one, where it's the 9 conference games and then 1 non-conference game. The date is going to be interesting because we already know that the SEC is starting September 26th. The Pac-12 announced over the weekend their schedule. They will start September 26th. Most anticipate when the Big Ten announces their schedule this week, it's going to be right around there, September 26th. ACC announced September 12th, but there's some speculation that could get moved back again if they go to just conference games. and now the Big 12 has to make a call. If the Big 12 was going to start on September 26th, well, that would give the power, the non-Power 5 a full month to play football before the Power 5 plays any games. That could, you could see that as a good thing. A, it's a test run for how things go with the coronavirus.
On campus, yes.
And traveling and everything we're watching. But at the same time, if you're not going to get those money games that you're used to getting by going and playing, you know, college football games against the big Power 5 schools, you know, you could argue that getting those games on television when there's no competition would be a good thing, because the TV partners will pay for those games, right?
Well, like the MAC would love to do this.
Yeah. Have Saturday to themselves for three or four Saturdays before the big boys start playing?
Sure.
The big programs?
Can make up from some of those games that you didn't get a chance to go.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Go to the Power 5 conferences and play.
If it's announced today that the Big 12 goes to Conference Plus One, that means South Florida probably is out for Texas. There's likelihood it'll be the UTEP game because it's in the UT system, and you know that we've talked about there's some uniformity to that. We'll see. We'll ask Max what he's hearing. We're keeping our eyes on the wire, but that came down that SMU and Texas State now August 29th. And as of this morning, Oklahoma is scheduled to play on that day, August the 29th, but most anticipate that changes today.
Yeah, because Oklahoma, like you said, they'd like to know too.
Yeah, well, because they got to get ready. If they are going to play indeed on August 29th, I mean, their camp is supposed to begin today. Longhorn camp begins today. Obviously, Tom Herman, Lincoln Riley, all the coaches would like to know the situation, and that's where criticism of the Big 12 is fair. That hey, why is it taking this long, and why even into this past weekend, and even on Friday?
I thought by Monday we'd know exactly what's going on.
Me too. Well, we're going to know
this afternoon.
We're going to know this afternoon, I think. But at the same time, it does come off as a lack of leadership that even on Friday, when the 10 ADs and the Big 12 got together, they still had no agreement. I mean, they're all over the map. We'll ask Max about this coming up, but there are some arguing to keep the schedule as is, 12 games. There are some arguing for two non-conference games, three non-conference. I mean, and then, of course, what looks like it's going to win out is the 9-game plus one, so a 10-game season, which would fall in line with everybody else.
Mr. Bowlesby's a nice guy. You know, you and I have met him. We've sat down and talked to him. But there's a lack of real confidence in him over the years in the Big 12. There's just some kind of lack about him, whether it's with coaches, other ADs. You never hear them glowingly talk about him. That's the thing. They don't say bad things about him. You know what I mean? They don't sit around talking about him and saying bad things, but they don't always talk about his leadership. Like, we're led by it. No. They just say, well,
I think most people know that it's led by Texas and Oklahoma. And
they don't need him, really.
He kind of follows them.
Yeah.
Whatever the big two say kind of goes. That's kind of been the way, whether that's right or wrong. And that's kind of the way that Texas likes it. It's the way Oklahoma likes it. They get to control the conference. And again, if you go into the Big Ten or the SEC, it's kind of even because they're all big schools and they all have some power. But
sure, the Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC, Alabama's big, Florida's big, Georgia's big. I mean, they all have their say. Texas A&M, LSU. In the Big 12, it's two.
You're
and
right.
The other eight. And Bob Bowlesby kind of falls in line with that at some level. So we'll ask Max Olson his thoughts on it. Take your thoughts on the changing scope of college athletics. And a lot of text coming in on that, which is good as we get this thing rolling. We'll get to some of those as people weigh in. We appreciate that on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Also, the sports landscape littered with good, bad, and ugly stuff over the weekend. We had baseball. We had basketball. We had hockey. We had golf. Justin Thomas, the new number one golfer in the world, as we get ready to tee off the first major of the golf season on Thursday. We'll get into all that. And coming next, Isaiah Collier, our producer, leads us through Hot or Not, the topics we've missed as we approach halfway through our Monday program. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot not on a Monday. The sports landscape hot over the weekend. Chocked full of sports with great stuff. How about James Harden Friday night, Buck? A 49-point night against the Mavericks. They won. Rockets beat the Mavericks 153-149. James Harden had 49 points, 9 boards, 8 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals, and just 1 turnover. Pretty good night pretty efficient night for James Harden. The slimmed down James Harden. And by the way, Luka Doncic in that game, in his young career, he's a superstar on the rise, but he's 0 for 10 now in game-winning or game-tying shots in his young career. 0 for 10. Not yet a finisher.
Okay, he'll catch up to that. How does speaking of Luka Doncic, how does his body look? Did he come back in really good shape?
Yeah, he looks good. He looks quicker too.
Really?
Yeah, he had 28.
Not flabby looking like he had that baby fat kind of on.
Yeah, well, he's still only 20, right?
Yeah.
But Porzingis was the star in that game. He had 39 points and 16 rebounds against Houston. They scored 149 points and lost. That's got to bum you out a little bit if you're the Mavericks. But
about
yeah,
a little D.
And Luka did have 8 turnovers and missed that potential game winner in regulation, and then which allowed it to get to overtime. But last night, Luka had 40, and they lost to the Suns by a deuce. So Mavericks off to an 0-2 start in the bubble. We'll reset all those headlines coming up. Also, we're going to talk to Max Olson from TheAthletic.com, who co-wrote the story yesterday about the Big 12 and their decision coming today. One quick quote kind of set the table for our conversation with Max. So Big 12 head coaches, the football coaches and the ADs met with Bob Bowlesby on Thursday on a Zoom chat. Then the ADs on Friday, and today the board of directors will meet to make a final decision, it is believed. But here's a quote that's interesting from one of the coaches that was on the, or administrators that was on the call on Thursday in Max's story. It says, "What's the difference between 10, 11, and 12 games? In our eyes, you're looking at 12 games because some games are going to get canceled. You might as well try to have as many opportunities to play the game. You hope you get to 12, but with everything that's happening, you probably going to get, are you going to get 12? Probably not. So the argument would be, well, schedule 12, knowing you're going to cancel a couple, because if you only schedule 10 and a couple get canceled, well, now you're down to 8. You know what I'm saying? So these are the debates that are being had.
Yeah, but you can't start talking to hotels and stuff and saying, oh, we're there, and then, hey, guess, oh, I'm sorry, canceled. You got to cancel. No, you got
to. Yeah, we'll ask Max what the most likely. But it is interesting to say, and because, again, it goes back to the TV deal. The Big 12's TV deal is for 57 games. If they do a 9 plus 1, which is 10 total games, that gets you to 55 games, including the Big 12 title game. You start canceling some of those, all of a sudden you're losing out on TV money, which is one of the arguments for the plus 2 idea in the Big 12. So we'll ask Max what he's
hearing. Yeah, a weekend of football, there's so much that goes in. As I told you, buses, the schedules, the times, the hotel, the meals at the hotel. There's thousands upon thousands of dollars that go into feeding a bunch of guys. You can't then all of a sudden say, well, sorry.
Well, I do think my prediction would be whatever the Big 12 adopts, Texas isn't traveling any more than they already scheduled to. If they play the plus 2, it's going to be South Florida and UTEP. And those
They're
are going to be
here.
Home. Yes. And those schools need to plan their travel. You're right about that. This says at 149, 153, that's COVID defense. I would say the defense was poor, but those are the number 1 and 2 teams in offensive efficiency in the NBA. It was like a good Big 12 game. It wasn't great defense, but the offense was so good. And would you agree with that, Zay?
Yeah, absolutely. The defense was really bad, but they were playing hard. So.
But it's not how the defense has been. They've been playing pretty decent in the NBA now.
And give the Rockets this. They played pretty good defense last night against Milwaukee when they beat the Bucks by 4. Their defense was pretty damn good.
Toronto's going to D your ass up.
And Toronto
COVID
beat the Lakers.
Or not, they're going to be all up in your jock now.
They're defending champs until proven otherwise.
That's
and
right.
They sent a message to the Lakers on Saturday. Zay, what are you having, hot or not?
Appreciate it, fellas. Speaking of the Rockets and James Harden, who, when it comes to this subject, this might be one of the pettiest subjects in the league. So Giannis, he went on and said during All-Star Weekend, when it was Team Giannis versus Team LeBron, James Harden was on Team LeBron. So Giannis went and said after to the media, "We were just trying to go after whoever was guarded or whoever was being guarded by James Harden." So James Harden, I think, has taken that to heart and has rolled with it. He had 6 steals last night against the Bucks and a crucial timely steal against Giannis in clutch time to put them ahead. And James happened to say in an interview when asked, "Giannis, how good is he?" James said, "Next question."
Ooh.
Okay, well, that's great for James Harden for that 1 or 2 games that he's going to really play some defense. But isn't that going to be an every night thing?
So that's what
I'm hard.
So right? How
you mean
not?
All of a sudden he's a defensive he's a baller now on defense? I don't think so.
Now I will give credit to Isaiah Collier, who last week when we talked about players to watch, it might have been when you were out, players to watch coming back. You said James Harden was your number one guy because the one knock against Harden among the knocks is because he has had to carry the Rockets when he gets to the playoff times. He's out of gas and he wears himself down. Well, this is a fresh James Harden in a sprint to the playoffs, and he's got Russell Westbrook with him now, who also looks to be in pretty good shape, even though he battled the virus during July. It'll be interesting. Now, it's just 2-game sample, but he's been the best player in Orlando so far. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that through 2 games, but they still have a long way to go. He's been outstanding. and the Rockets are 2-0. And the Spurs, don't knock the Spurs. They're going to try to make the playoffs again. Keep that streak alive.
Just
they're 2-0 in the bubble.
Go to the vacation or whatever you have to do. Quit messing around like you're going to try to get to the playoffs.
What else, Zay?
I do have flags.
Your Spurs flags?
Yeah, I still got them.
Sweet.
Rapper J. Cole, who is 35 years old, told rapper Master P that he is going to try to make a run in the NBA. Are we hot or not on J. Cole trying to make a run in the league?
First of all, is J. Cole any good at rapping?
Yeah, he's good. He's one of the top tier ones.
Can he hoop?
He's a top tier. Can he?
For a rapper, he's pretty good.
Yeah, but for a rapper, that's like... Yeah,
I would say like, I think I'm pretty good for a golfer, and I'd like to go play with Justin Thomas this week. And really, I think I can compete with him if he lets me up to the ladies' tees. No.
Hey, you know what? It's free country, though. You can give it a try. If he's good enough, someone will take him. But I'm going to say hot, not hot. I mean, nah. I'm hot on him trying. I'm all in.
Give it your best shot, man.
But he is 35, a little bit past his window there. How many 35-year-old point guards are they signing? I'm assuming he's a point guard, and he's not very tall.
Yeah, he's about 6'3". He does have a dunk in one of the Celebrity All-Star games. Kevin Hart threw him a lob.
That should get you a tryout with the NBA.
And he dunked it.
Yeah, man. No, but I give him a chance. I'll give him a chance.
I'll give him a shot at it.
One thing I'm not hot on is stinking Zion Williamson still playing 15 minutes a game. What's going on with that deal? Can we get him in the game more?
Why is that rapper not playing with Cool Mo D's 3-on-3 league?
Ice Cube?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Call him Cool Mo D.
LL Cool J. Come on. Yo. Oh. I mean, really.
Yeah, LL Cool J. But again,
Bones Thugs or somebody.
That's my only negative about the NBA's bubble is Zion's not playing enough. I don't know what this minute limit is on.
Well, they did this for you.
I know. I feel like that's the only reason they went to 22 teams was so that they could bring the Pelicans. And they're not playing Zion. The NBA should be furious.
Oh, hey, I bet you they are.
He's a kid. He's got to be 100% healthy.
I can't believe he's bigger than he was. When I saw him all buffed up.
Zay reported that when he went home, remember he had to leave the bubble. He came back. He put on some pounds.
Went to Mama's house.
Mama's cooking will do that too.
Yeah, I will.
All right. So what are you hot or not? The good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. How about the University of Texas sending a letter to all students? No parties in 2020. On campus or off. No parties. None.
Not even at the apartment off campus?
Students can face penalties for not abiding with the request. No parties.
Got to try, Elise. You got to try.
Do your part. Do your part. We'll be back. When we do, we'll reset those headlines. A lot of them, plus Max Olson, who co-wrote the article on theathletic.com discussing what the Big 12 will decide today. See if he's got more intel this morning. That's coming next. It's B&E with you on a Monday.